Well, this morning I mentioned the end of Sunday School last week, but I want to share with you where we are in the process of seeking to establish Christ Church Romford as a congregation in fellowship with and accountable to the wider church. As we begin to do that, let's just open our Bibles to begin with and turn with me to Psalm 133. Psalm 133 is a great psalm reminding us of the blessing of unity in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay,
133
or
131? 133. It's 131 edition. That's what it starts, isn't it? Psalm 131 was the prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, I think, or something, so apologies for that. Psalm 133, all three verses. Yeah, it does say, yeah, Psalm 131. Psalm 133. It's the one that says when brothers dwell in unity in big letters above it. Great, okay. So let's hear these words. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like a precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's a short psalm, but tells us about the blessing of dwelling as Christian brothers and sisters in unity together. Verse 1, what the psalmist said, we're not going to look at it in too much detail, but the psalmist says that it is a good and a pleasant thing. There are some things, aren't there, that are good, but they're not pleasant. Going to the dentist. I saw a few laughs. I looked at particular people I knew. Going to the dentist is a good thing, not necessarily a pleasant thing. This psalm assures us it is both good and pleasant when Christians dwell together in unity. And it's a unity, not that we have to manufacture, it's a unity, isn't it, that comes from being found in the Lord Jesus Christ. A unity because the same Spirit lives within God's people. We don't have to manufacture it, we do need to seek to ensure that we keep and promote that unity that already exists. And in the final verse of the psalm, God commands his blessing upon those who live in this united way. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God has promised that as we seek to show our unity in Christ, there will be blessing that comes with that. Well, again, it is with this aspect of thinking about our unity within the wider church this morning, I just want us to focus on. Some of you may remember 2 years ago, when a group of us began planning for what would become Christ Church Romford in the summer of 2017. I say then it was my prayer and intention that any new church that was formed would become associated with the International Presbyterian Church. Now I'm aware that most Christians in the UK are not too familiar with the International Presbyterian Church. Indeed, most Christians in the United Kingdom, the word Presbyterian is quite foreign to them, or maybe it has all kinds of different connotations. And so, prior to launching the church, when we did that at Easter 2018, I held a number of meetings outlining what it was the church would stand for, and what it was the church would be like in its practice. Some of us would have been there, some of us wouldn't be there, they'd have joined since then. But we stated that we wanted to be an evangelical church, holding to God's word, the Bible, as God's inspired word, saying that God's word was inerrant, without error, it was necessary, it was sufficient, and God's word would be the thing that we would submit ourselves to as a church in all matters of life and godliness. Further, we stated then that we would be a reformed church, a church with a reformed confession based on those doctrines of grace that were emphasised and rediscovered at the time of the Protestant Reformation. We said that we want to declare as a church we believe that God's salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That it is Scripture alone is our final authority, and that all that we seek to do and all things that happen are to God's glory alone. And maybe if you weren't part of the church at that time, then those videos with those teaching sessions, they're still available online. If anybody wants to have a look at those, then please let me know. By all means, you're welcome to do that. So, in wanting to be this evangelical reformed church, Christ Church Romford, from the beginning, we have said that our statements of faith, our list of doctrines and teachings that we believe, the practice of how we think we are to conduct ourselves as church, we've adopted as our statements of faith, the Westminster Confession of Faith, or the Westminster Standard. So we've used, you'll be aware, in having Sunday school before, the Short Catechism questions to help us think about what the Bible is saying. We hold that confession as an accurate and a faithful summary of the teachings of Scripture. And in keeping with that confession of faith, thirdly, I say, not only do we want to be evangelical and reformed as a church, but we'd also want to be considered a Presbyterian church. Now, this is where your brains come into play. I just wonder, we're going to take 1 or 2 minutes, maybe to turn to the person next to you and to tell me something that you think is distinctive about a Presbyterian church. You might not be able to say anything, in which case let the person next to you just take up all of the time, okay? But it might be just very quiet because we're not quite sure what the distinctives of a Presbyterian church are in particular. Okay, any wisdom? Any ignorance? Any wisdom? Oh, you're not allowed to mention the spelling or grammar. Something that's slightly above that. Go on, Mike.
It has a presbytery.
It has a presbytery. Really helpful. Doesn't get us too far, but it's a good start. There's a structure. That is really helpful, isn't it? Okay. We're going to say Presbyterianism is really all about the structure of the church. Okay. Anything else? Was there any other wisdom at all? Not top down, bottom up. That is kind of helpful. Yeah. Okay. We'll just think a little bit about that in a moment.
But it's not democratic either.
So it's not democratic either. That's right. So it's not the Pope sitting on high, and it's not either grassroots democracy. But that's kind of really helpful. Are you here? You're scratching your head. Okay. Go on, Mike.
It has a liturgy.
It has a liturgy. Okay. That's helpful. The liturgy is important. How we worship. Is important. All churches have a liturgy, but it has a written liturgy. That's a helpful liturgy. Is what we're doing, the structure of what we're doing when we're worshiping. Okay, so Presbyterianism, maybe it's a word we've heard a number of times, but we're not that clear as kind of what is distinctive about it. And Presbyterianism simply refers to the way in which a church is governed. That is the big thing, okay? You switch on your TV and you look at America, or you maybe look somewhere else and you think Presbyterianism, it's to do with, it's a political thing. No, it's to do with how the church is governed. The word Presbyterianism is derived from the Bible word, presbyteros, which simply means elder, okay? And it's a way of seeking to ensure Presbyterianism. Is a way of seeking to ensure that church elders continue to hold faithful to biblical truth as they seek to care for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Presbyterianism makes the elders of a local church accountable to elders of a wider group of church elders. So that's what Presbyterianism, and Mike mentioned this word, presbytery. A presbytery is simply a group of elders from a number of local churches who have the authority to recognise and appoint, and if need be, to remove or discipline elders from a local church should their teaching or their lifestyle prove unfaithful to Scripture? I think that's what Presbyterianism is. It's to do with the way in which the church is governed. Comes from the word elder that's found in Scripture. And it's saying that the elders are to be appointed and in fellowship with elders from a wider church body. Any questions on that? Or comments? If I ask the same question next week, I won't be going. Okay. Now, for the last 2 years, I in particular, but us as a congregation, have slowly been getting to know the International Presbyterian Church in order to determine whether associating with them would be a good match for us as a local church in terms of us finding a spiritual home within the wider body of Christ's church. And the IPC, it's an evangelical church, it's a reformed church, structured on this Presbyterian church government. It was founded in the 1950s through the ministry of a guy called Francis Schaeffer. Two or three of us, has anybody ever heard of Francis Schaeffer before? Okay. Francis Schaeffer was a really great gospel-hearted man, a pastor, a theologian. And for many years after the IPC had been established, there were only a couple of IPC congregations in the UK. If you want to know more, I put that on the sheet, haven't I? If you want to know more about the history of the International Presbyterian Church, somebody's written a brief history of their earlier years as for the saints who were in the land, and that's available online if you wanted to go and read about that. But since the year 2000, the IPC has seen something of a resurgence. Now, if you've only got two churches or three churches to start off with, a resurgence, but a resurgence in the number of men and the number of new churches being associated with it. Currently, let me have a look if I can bring the technology available. That was in focus, and all of a sudden, you can recognise that as Britain, though, can't you? It's not that. I think that could be more to do with my screen grabbing software than the projector. Currently, there are 13 congregations within the British Presbytery, the British group of ministers who meet together, and elders, within the British Presbytery, the IPC. There are four in Scotland, up there at the north, and then there are nine in England. And within those 13 congregations, there are nine what are referred to as established churches. They're with a large group of elders or a plurality of elders and who are self-sustaining, self-funding as a local congregation. And then there are four mission churches. And a mission church is simply a congregation with less than a plurality of elders, so one or maybe just two elders, and they're not substantially self-funding. And there are plans within the IPC for a possible two or three new churches to be started within the next year or so. One of which, Chris Roberts, who's coming to preach for us later on today, he's currently at Ealing, the congregation at Ealing, and he's looking to plant a church in the next couple of years in Uxbridge, which is just a bit further out than Ealing, going out to the west of London. And there are also a number of congregations, existing congregations, considering joining the IPC. That's where we've been over the last few years. So the plan would be for Christchurch Romford to become an IPC congregation, to become initially a mission church of the IPC. In order for us to be recognised as an IPC congregation, I, as the pastor of Christchurch, I first need to be recognised as an IPC elder. And most of us will be aware that process has been formally happening over the last 12 months. It's involved a series of interviews and forms to fill in, and then a couple of weeks ago, at the beginning of this month, that a floor examiner had to stand in front of all of the elders within the IPC and answer their questions. So as of 2 weeks ago, I'm now a recognised elder within the IPC, and I'm serving out of bounds, that's the phrase they use. Basically, I'm serving in a church that at the moment is not recognised as an IPC congregation. And as an elder of the IPC, I'm now under the authority of that group of elders within the British Presbytery. But again, my desire is not just for me to be part of this group, but for us as a church to be an IPC congregation. And again, as yet, we're not that. Now, how that process happens, how we become recognised as an IPC congregation, that is straightforward, but it's not an automatic process, and I'll outline that in a moment. Let me just pause there, and let me just ask if there are any questions or comments at this stage. By all means, ask this as an opportunity. Again, I'm aware that people have been with us for shorter or longer periods of time, so not everybody knows the history of Christchurch as much as others. Now is a good time. Don't just think, oh, well, okay, if I ask this, other people will all know this. By all means, if there are questions on us as a local church, or if there are questions about the International Presbyterian Church, now would be a good time to ask.
David, you've gone through the you're an elder, but other people to the elders, they have to go through what you've
done. That's a good question.
Because it sounds arduous.
Okay, that's a good point. I'll come on to that in a moment, Rosie, because that's really helpful, okay? Three pages on, I think, Rosie. Okay, so there's a great question. If somebody else wants to become an elder of Christchurch Romford, what would that involve in terms of the International Presbyterian Church? We'll touch on that in a moment. Theresa?
Do we
have to now pay subscription? Okay. Is everybody here? Do we need to pay some kind of... I was going to say prescription, not prescription.
Membership fee.
So there's no membership fee as such. Again, what I found out they're seeking to, because they're keen to plant new churches, keen to support gospel work, they're saying that if any congregation, and again, if they can, then it's not a problem, but if congregations are able to give a percentage of their income, to them, to be used completely. So there's no admin overhead, as it were. The admin overhead is just, it is the elders of the churches. It's not, there's a group of, there's somebody at head office. There is no head office. It is the churches. So there's no cost to cover in that respect. But as I say, they say, oh, certainly from established churches, churches who are already self-supporting themselves, funding themselves, saying, oh, well, actually, if you can think of some of your giving, I can't remember what the percentage is.
10%.
It was 10%. 10% of internal giving, thanks, James. To give towards basically mission, with our aim of seeking to plant churches in the IPC. But it's a guideline, it's not you have to. Okay. Good question.
Yeah, that's purely came out of
church planting. Yeah. So they're wanting to, they're seeing new men come to them saying, oh, we want to establish churches within the IPC. There's only 13 of them. Okay, how are we going to, in practice, ensure that this is able to happen? Okay. Good question. Okay, there's going to be, hopefully there'll be another two or three opportunities for questions. Let's move on. So, Christchurch Romford, we began as a church on Easter Sunday morning in 2018, and later that year, you remember, we became a charity in October of last year. But in this time that we've been operating as Christchurch Romford, gathering as a church, there has only been myself as an elder of the church. Just as an aside, it is probably worth mentioning that in forming a charity, we've had to appoint a number of charitable trustees just in order to comply with charity law. So that's myself and James, and then Dan Smith and Eric Fenn are the charitable trustees of Christchurch. And as trustees, our responsibility is simply to ensure that the church, Christchurch, is meeting our charitable objectives. The charitable trustees are not elders, they're not pastors, they're not in any way involved in caring for the churches in that eldership role. It's simply a legal position to ensure that we're complying with charitable legislation. And so, for example, we met on Thursday the the trustees, just for me, as it were, to be able to report back to them on what's happening in church life, and for them, then again, obviously they're aware of it to a degree, but then also to ensure that that does comply with what we've told the Charity Commission that our activities are as a charity. But coming back to the point Rosie raised, that I believe it's scriptural that it's biblical that a church would have one elder, just one pastor, but a plurality of elders. And that would certainly be our aim as a church. As we seek to join the International Presbyterian Church, that appointment of elders will now happen in the context of becoming of being an IPC church. How would that work? It would mean that if we as a congregation felt that there was somebody who was suitable for eldership, that person would need to go through an application process that was similar to the process that I've been through. But there are two types of elder. Get this from 1 Timothy. Two types of elder. There's a teaching elder, somebody whose predominant role is teaching within the church. And then there is what's called a ruling elder. They need to be able to teach, need to be men of word and prayer, but again, more likely than not, they're men also with day jobs, and so they're also able to serve as elders within the church, but that's not what they're giving most of their time to. And that role of ruling elder, the distinction is that there is no final exam and you've got to stand in front of everybody. There is a process, there is a form to fill in asking to see whether someone's life and doctrine is in line with scripture. There is an interview or a chat, but as I say, it's not that, oh well, okay, we want to recognise you as a man who's going to be standing in front of the church week in, week out, upon which a local congregation, upon whose teaching, a local congregation is going to be dependent upon week as faithful ministry from God. But any elder within the church would need to go through that process. And again, it's probably also worth saying that what we couldn't have is, we couldn't have the IPC saying to us, oh right, okay, we're going to give you this elder, okay? We're all saying, no, we don't want that elder, okay? It's very much, it's us recognising somebody as an elder, and then just to see them as elders, as a large group of elders, say, yes, actually, this is somebody who's got the gifts, who's got the character to shepherd and care for God's people. It would also mean that if I or any future elders of Christ Church, if we begin behaving or teaching in a manner inconsistent with the Bible, that we first have to resolve that at a local level, within the church. If we were able to do that, then as a church, we could refer that to presbytery. That would mean that other gospel ministers within the group would be able to aid in resolving the issue, and it may well lead to discipline, even in removing an elder, if that was felt necessary, if they felt that they were harming in some way the local church. Let me just pause there again, just in terms of how that would work. Any questions on that? Anything that I've said that isn't clear? Does that make sense, Rosie? Yeah? Okay. Addy.
The question's not very clear in my head here.
Okay.
Well, I was. You seem to. Another elder to be.
Go on, Addy. Say it before the lights go off, Addy.
You know, another elder to be selected by the church. That would be. Will the church have to be similar to the presbytery you use?
So again, I'm going to say it a little bit again. I've said this a number of times. In one sense, the whole point of presbytery is to care for the church. Okay, shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ set aside to care for the sheep of the church. Okay, so the idea is okay, but as a church, were able to maybe recognise somebody with that character and gifting of becoming an elder. But it is probably important, isn't it, that it's not just us as a church being happy with that. It's not just the sheep being happy with this shepherd. For other shepherds to recognise, yeah, actually this is somebody with the character and gifting of a shepherd. And that's the point is to ensure that the local congregation, the sheep of the Lord Jesus, are cared for by men who are recognised by other elders, by other shepherds, as those who are rightly will care for the sheep. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. And go on, Teresa, and then I'll ask.
Yep.
So again, it isn't just the case somebody mentioned about. It's not just kind of, oh, I'm putting my hand up, I'm going to be an elder, and so on. That needs to happen first and foremost within the local body of the church. And if somebody wrote to the IPC and says, oh, I want to become an elder in this church, they just did that on their own. The first thing they do is just kind of say, well, the way to go about that is by doing that within the context of the church. And then the other side of that, it is important, isn't it, in terms of, for myself or for anybody else who's an elder, if there are problems, rather than us alone, being alone in sorting it out, the minister versus the sheep, as it were, the people, it is helpful to have that support and indeed that accountability to a wide group of shepherds. Should we keep on? Do ask questions. I'm purposely wanting to ensure that folks have got time for questions. It probably is worth saying that that what church looks like week in and week out, we're not going to notice a great deal of difference. I don't think. Again, I'll mention why in a moment. But what church looks like Sunday by Sunday, that wouldn't necessarily change that much, I don't think, in terms of what we've been used to. But in order for us to join the IPC, let me just outline the next step that we would need to take. First of all, I need to submit a report to the planning, the church planting committee, rather, of the IPC, simply to give them the latest update of where we are in terms of church life and progress. That's not supposed to be a kind of criteria of kind of how well are they doing. It's simply to see that we are a viable church, that we are meeting week by week, that we're not only kind of meeting once every month or something like that. And I've kept them in touch with what's happening on a number of times over the last few years. This is simply an opportunity to say, okay, this is where we are as a church. Clearly, as I say, to do that formally rather than informally, so that they're aware of where we are as a congregation. And then all being well, at the next presbytery meeting, when all the elders come together, that's at the end of November, they'll be together in York, and the IPC Church Planting Committee, who I've given this report to, they would then propose to the rest of Presbytery that we as a congregation, Christ Church at Romford, become a mission church. And if and as Presbytery indicate their agreement, we would then become at that moment an IPC congregation. And at a later stage, we hold a service of recognition for that, maybe with some other IPC ministers meeting with us as well. It is likely, though, that as they, and again, this is to do with the care of the church, as they recognise us as an IPC congregation, they would also recommend that on a year-by-year basis, as we're in this situation at the moment with only myself as the elder, that they would recommend that two lone elders from other IPC churches would be assigned to us as a congregation in order to help with that shepherding, that ministry here. Okay, the idea is it's not for them to come in and to take over, simply to support the ministry so that there is, in effect, a plurality of elders seeking to care for the sheep. Those elders are likely to be Simon Arscott from All Nations in Ilford down the road, and then there would probably be another elder from West London, one of the IPC churches in West London. And that arrangement would be seen as an ongoing but a temporary measure until the time they were able to appoint additional elders within the church here. Okay, let me just pause there. Does that make sense? Any questions about that?
This is only
not lonely elder, but a, not a lonely elder, but a lone elder.
Yeah, lone elder. Would he be ready to attend the church, or would he just be kind of the outside game for the outside world?
So where I don't say what I've seen elsewhere. So certainly there would be a desire to get to know the church a little bit, so in terms of attending and maybe in terms of speaking here. But then there would also be, it's more of a case of them probably meeting me up with myself for kind of elders meeting each month, me just sharing a little bit about church life and if I need help and support. In that way. So similar to how we informally over the last 12 months or so, I've asked both Simon at All Nations and Andrew Graham at Emmanuel Brentwood just for me to be accountable to them. So I meet with them. They know a bit about the life of what's going on in Christchurch. It's a means of ensuring that we are... Yeah, that I'm accountable to somebody, how that practically works out.
So, things
like
the same, what
you
do, or something has to support for you.
Yeah. So again, from what I've seen working, it is very much that idea that they are lone elders. They're not coming in to say, okay, we're pushing this through and so on. It's basically seeking to again, that share that wisdom and support me, while there is only while there's not that plurality there.
Timing-wise, say you, the church applied, as it were, to the Carmel Mission Church in October, then in November, hopefully you get approved, and then, is it December, is it January, and hopefully get officially approved.
So that November date, if they're happy to recognise us as a congregation on at the end of November,
that would be then.
I won't describe one side of the things at the moment, so I'll move on a little bit, so we will touch on that in a moment. One of the things I think is attractive about the IPC, I've mentioned it a number of times, is that it is the care that they seem to show for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the manner in which they seek to care for the church. Quite often in church life, in my experience, church order, church practice is made up in the midst of church life, as church life is happening within a local congregation. So some crisis arises, and then the church decides what to do. And again, that, to a degree, that's got to happen in any church. But the IPC is a group of churches, many groups of churches, has what is referred to as a book of church order. It outlines the acceptable practices and procedures within local congregations. That covers the objectives, the structure of church, it covers church membership. It covers the process of appointing elders and deacons, the role of presbytery, how church oversight and public worship and discipline are to be carried out. And it might not sound like the most riveting reads that you'd probably want to read on the beach during the summer, but the summer's over. And I would encourage you, maybe over the next few weeks, it's available to go and have a look at that book of church order. It is something I think we should be at least familiar with, and be aware of. It is something as an elder I've agreed to uphold in terms of my ministry. But that would give you a little idea of kind of, this is the way that they understand church working, and it's filled with scriptural support and so on. And again, I don't think in any of this you find any surprises. You won't find any surprises about becoming an IPC congregation. It's hopefully what most of us have been expecting will happen in the church life of Christ Church.
Yeah.
As much as possible, what I start to do over the last 18 months, 2 years, is to lay out the path I hope that we'll be travelling as a church as much as possible, in order that we've all had an idea of where it is that we're going. But that said, I do want to ensure that we're consciously taking this next step together as a congregation. And therefore, I do think it's wise to have this opportunity to ask questions. And again, not just for the next few minutes this morning, but maybe for next Sunday morning as well. And beyond that, I'll mention it in a moment. Further, I do think it would be a wise thing to have an indication of support from the congregation, from those who are regular attenders, in order that we are able to make this next step together. That would also be a good indicator to the IPC as a group, that we are keen as a congregation, not just me keen as a minister, to come under their care and accountability. So I think that would be helpful for us to do within the next few weeks. Any questions or comments on that? But as I said, I'm hoping it hasn't been a great, it's not a great surprise. Oh, I'm joining the IPC, I didn't know anything about that. I hope this has been in the air, as it were, for the last, few years we've been meeting. No questions then, no? Okay, that's great. Okay. Let me just mention then future plans, brief future plans. The first thing I think, this time last year, if you were around church, we had a church meeting. And my thought is to have a church meeting on Thursday the 10th of October this year. It'll be here in St. John's Hall. And again, that will just be an opportunity, similar to last year, for us to report on church life, to report on finances and so on, where we are as a church, and then to pray together. Thursday the 10th of October, we won't have a prayer meeting. On the Wednesday, we'll incorporate that into our church meeting. So that's 2 weeks' time? That is right. Yeah. And then at the beginning of next year, my plan would be to establish a formal membership for Christ Church Romford. To do that, I hope we've already spoken a little bit in kind of abstract terms about the importance of church membership. But I'd hope to hold a series of interviews with potential church members, and then maybe to do that with myself and, God willing, one of these lone elders as well together. I'd hope that wouldn't be anything too onerous at all, but we have said previously, haven't we, that it is important that we want to say that membership of a local church should mean something. It shouldn't just be a name on a list that never actually means something. So, as I say, from the beginning of next year, I'd like to begin that process. And then I'm also keen, and something I think I probably singularly failed at since we began at Christ Church, is to hold a number of baptisms. As a Reformed Presbyterian church, we understand the church as the covenant community of believers and of their children. And there are a number of people who have mentioned to me about the possibility of being baptised, a number of parents who have said for various reasons their children have not been baptised. And whilst baptising our children won't be a requirement for membership of Christ Church, I would encourage parents to baptise their children as rightful members of the community God is working amongst to bring his salvation purposes to fruition. And therefore, what I plan to do later this month, towards the end of October, on Sunday mornings in Sunday school, is for us to think about how we should understand baptism, what it is, and what it isn't. And then subsequently provide people with the opportunity to meet with me if they haven't been baptised, or offer parents the opportunity to meet and discuss having their children baptised. And the aim would be to have a baptismal service sometime at the end of November. So that's just kind of a few future plans for the next 2 months and the beginning of next year. I'm going to stop there, and hopefully that's given us some framework of where we currently stand. And again, as I say, my hope is that next week to provide a further opportunity for questions and for discussion on this. Okay, it's gone 1:45. Our preacher's just arrived, so let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your goodness to us as a church so far. We thank you for the way that you've led and you've guided. And we do pray now, Lord, that as we seek to take this next step as a church together, that you will lead us on. That you will lead us in unity. We thought at the beginning how blessed it is when brothers and sisters dwell together. Lord, we want to be united as a church congregation, but we also, Lord, want to be united with your wider church, show that unity in Christ that is ours. I do pray, Lord, that people will feel free and open to ask questions, and that we will feel as if we're going through this together. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.